Remember the phone hacking by tabloids in Britain? Are other big corporations up to similar things?
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp got into deep trouble in Britain when its reporters snuck into the voicemails of both public and private figures. Now it's emerged that more than 100 companies in Britain may have done similar things. The privacy and theft of personal information in Britain was brought into focus by the resignation of Britain's top policeman. Joining us live from London is Marketplace's Stephen Beard. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, David.
What are we talking about here? Phone hacking again?
Phone hacking, yes, and also the practice known as blagging in Britain. That is phoning up a bank or even a government department and impersonating somebody and getting that person's personal information as a result. This is, of course, illegal. And according to Britain's Serious Organised Crime Agency, 102 top British companies, including 22 law firms, employed rogue private investigators who routinely used these tactics.
So do we know whether these 100 or so corporations knowingly commission this kind of stuff?
No, we don't. And we don't even know the names of the 100 or so companies. The Serious Organised Crime Agency is refusing to release the names. It says it's still investigating. But this is pretty explosive in Britain because of the phone hacking scandal. Journalists have been arrested over that. Some have been jailed. As you suggest, the Murdoch press has been shaken by it. The News of the World actually closed down over it. Neil Wallace, a former deputy editor of the paper, says only journalists have been picked on and prosecuted for these abuses.
What is now clear, that at least as much and worse were in fact done and commonly done throughout industry, but the powers that be turned a blind eye to it.
Now, the head of the Serious Organised Crime Agency has just resigned over a quite separate issue, but with his departure, it's believed the names of the 102 companies will finally be released, and certainly the media, and especially the Murdoch press, will be agitating for that to happen.
Indeed. Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
For economic forecasters and really anyone who wants to keep their job in the United States, the focus is on an hour, 37 minutes or so from now. What was the employment and unemployment situation in the United States in July of 2013? The typical expert guess is about 185,000 jobs were created. If the median opinion turns out to be close, then there's still a lot of work to be done, says John Canelli, economist at LPL Financial.
You're still growing the economy at about two-thirds speed that you typically get, you know, 4 years into an economic recovery. So I think that keeps the unemployment rate high, keeps people, I think, struggling. Because, you know, 4 years into most other recoveries, it really felt like a recovery. This one doesn't.
The jobs data is drawn from a government survey of payrolls. There's also a parallel survey of households that produces the unemployment rate, which forecasters are betting comes in at 7.5% today. Now let's do the stock numbers. Do I even have to point out that share prices in Japan have been volatile this year? Today, the Nikkei index rose 3.3%. The FT 100 in London is down 0.1%. The S&P and Dow all closed at record highs yesterday. Index futures for the U.S. are up at the moment, but wait for that jobs number.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
In just about 2 months, the healthcare reform law will kick into high gear. That's when people will be able to start signing up for insurance on healthcare exchanges. Now, to tell this story from the ground, Marketplace is zeroing in on a single place, Camden, New Jersey, one of the poorest parts of the country. From the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein starts our occasional series at a small clinic that could one day play a big role in lowering costs and improving care in Camden.
It was textbook. Angie Lara, the medical assistant at what's called the Reliance Doctor's Office, remembers a woman coming in one day really upset.
She was crying. She said that she was going to the hospital because she didn't feel good.
The woman thought she was about to have a stroke. Lara checked her blood pressure. It wasn't high.
as soon as I told her, she's like, oh, okay, wiped her tears. Oh, well, thank you so much, sweetie. Have a good day.
Problem solved and potentially expensive visit to the ER avoided. That's precisely why the doctor's office was opened 2 years ago at Northgate 2, a public housing apartment building for 400 seniors, many who are chronically ill. In 6 years, residents here ran up more than $80 million in healthcare costs. Nadia Ali is with the nonprofit Camden Coalition of Healthcare Providers.
Having a primary care office where you live breaks down a lot of barriers you run into when you want to go to the doctor here in Camden.
Barriers like no reliable transportation or long waits for an appointment. This office is one way Camden hopes to get out in front of the new healthcare law and lower costs by keeping chronically ill patients from ending up in the hospital again and again. But here's the thing. Even though the clinic's so convenient you could trip over it, most residents won't go there.
I'm the first one going that clinic. The sooner they make it, I say, I stay there.
With high blood pressure, asthma, terrible allergies, and 11 different medications, Elsa Cartagena instantly saw the value. Her neighbors? Not so much.
I talked to them, but they say, oh, I got my doctor for a long, long time.
Leaving the doctor you've known for 20 years isn't easy for anyone. But Reverend Hayward Wiggins, whose congregation includes Northgate residents, says when you live in the poorest and most violent city in America, it's hard to trust people.
For so long, agencies have come in. We're here to propose this program for you. You need to take advantage of it. And as soon as it didn't work, they just left.
Despite modest success lowering hospital visits, the office loses $150,000 a year. But rather than leaving Northgate, Camden health officials are adding staff to try to get more care to the sickest people in the building. Because no matter how well designed the plan, making basic changes in healthcare is very hard to do. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
The Dow closed yesterday at 15,628, a record high. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.